This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The pensioners are back, but with no walking sticks in sight. They're carefree, wherever they may be. They're the famous CFC. Blue is their colour, and football is their game. If you come to Stamford Bridge, you'll remember their name. It's the Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport.
End of the week, Friday night on Love Sport Radio means one thing and one thing, and it's time for the Chelsea Fancast.
Up the Chelsea. That's more like it. Kick it down the pitch and run after
you
it.
You sound South African.
No, that would be like that.
Up the Chelsea this evening. Good evening. My name is Eden Paul. joining me this evening to talk all things Chelsea, we've got Mr. Stamford Chidgey's in the building.
Hello.
Good evening, sir. And Jonathan Kidd.
Kiddo. I'm here too. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Enjoying myself already.
Good to have you on. Good to have you on, son.
Oh, lovely to be here.
We've got no plan B tonight, so we're going with plan A.
Yes.
But the thing is, though, Aaron, you know, is plan A good enough at the moment?
I think it's all right for
I think we could improve it.
It's a great plan, eh?
I think we could improve it.
But it's not
it.
Being applied.
I think we could improve it. And also, I think we need to sort Jonathan's mentality out.
His mentality. I don't know how. I think you're quite hard to motivate, Jonathan. You're quite hard to motivate.
I don't think that's the problem. I don't think it's the fact that he's hard to motivate. I think the problem is that he's such an individual, he can't play as a team. That's the problem.
Yeah.
He's too creative, in a sense.
No, I am very creative.
He needs to be instructed so he can run around like an automaton or a robot.
No, I do just speak more like that, don't I? Then we have got the clue as to who the player is talking about.
I think Jonathan needs
who are you doing now?
Who am I doing? I'm doing a kind of... Sounds like Arsene Wenger.
Who is it supposed to be?
It was supposed to be Hazard.
Oh, Hazard.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like that.
In my opinion...
If you don't, you know, it's a bit like that.
I think Jonathan needs to be patient if my vision is to be fulfilled.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, some say he's a dreamer. I think he's the only one.
Good evening.
That was good.
That was good.
John Lennon rules.
Can
okay.
I just say, we should start doing that. You know the manager's quotes from the week?
Yeah.
We should start just putting that into a little story.
That's not bad, that is.
See, we're improving our plan A already.
I know. Yeah. But it won't work like that every
time. No, it won't work because we'll forget all about it when we're on the pitch.
Yeah, exactly.
When we're doing the show.
Yeah. Yeah, 7:05 across the capital. Good evening. I hope you've had a good week, a snow-filled week.
Except it hasn't settled, though, has it? Well,
yeah, because you live in central...
I live in the middle, darling. I live in the middle of London.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't settle. It's too hot.
Plenty on the way, though. We're looking back at the game between Bournemouth and Chelsea. Oh, a disappointing defeat for
horrible.
The Blues. 4-0 at the Vitality. Chelsea
was that
taken
the biggest defeat since 1996.
My cousin actually texts me. You know the one with the flag?
Yeah.
He texts me.
Yeah.
He was absolutely gutted. He just texted me saying biggest defeat since 96. The banner was he wasn't even born in 96.
Do you know who that biggest defeat was against?
It was against my mob.
Nope. And it wasn't 4-0. That's the clue.
Was it a four goal
it was a league
deficit.
Match. It was September the 21st, 1996, and we lost 5-1 to Liverpool away.
Oh,
wow. I've erased that.
And do you
memory.
Know what the last time we lost 4-0 was?
In the cup final against
Man United. When it rained
94.
In Ellery. Basically played
yeah.
for them.
Yeah.
And do you know what the biggest defeat was before that?
13-2 against Crewe.
Nope, it was 7-0 away to Forest in 1991. It's astonishing that we've only lost, 5-1 against Liverpool in 96, long time ago, 94 United, 4-0, long time ago, 7-0 against Forest, 91, long time ago. It's
in fact,
surprising.
We beat Crewe 13-2.
Did we really?
In 61, I think it was.
Good grief.
Yeah.
Good knowledge. Plenty on the way this evening. We're going to be looking back, obviously, at that Bournemouth game, looking ahead to the game against Huddersfield. We've got the quiz.
And the quiz this week is... Can you guess what it is? Amazingly enough, it is who played for both Chelsea and Huddersfield Town.
God, I wouldn't have thought it would have been that.
I know.
I thought it was going to be... Who plays in blue and white?
Now, here's the thing. I was really surprised. I didn't think there'd be many at all. And, I mean, I gave it, heads up. I gave it the cursory look rather than the granular, detailed version.
Which you're so good at.
Yeah, but I didn't have time this week, so I had a cursory look, and I found 11, which has surprised me. I didn't think I'd find that many.
I've chucked my one in.
You have? Don't say it.
No. Well, I'm going to tell the story a little bit later on about the young lad that's involved. And can I just say one thing? Young Jonathan Kidd, who's been absolutely magnificent on social media. I've started putting out these sort of brain teasers on social media.
I've seen those. They're good. I like that.
On the football. Yeah. I really enjoy it. Cause
I keep trying. I have a go every time.
You're trying. And I mean, today's, you're not far off today's, but, I don't know, Lord Moses Dalrymple?
Dalrymple-Git.
I mean, it's close, but it's not quite it. If he played for Chelsea or Huddersfield, give us a call. 0208 70 20 558 at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or...
At Chelsea Fancast on Twitter.
There you have it. We've got two or so minutes before we speak to Liam Toomey.
From where?
From ESPN.
That's right.
Yeah.
Chelsea.
Where exactly is he phoning from, though? Do we know? Is he a man of mystery?
We should ask him.
Yeah. Because I'd like to know, is he in his front room?
What's the vision that you have of what Liam might be doing on the phone?
I always feel that he's walking down a busy street, getting from one scoop to another.
He actually is, because you can hear like when you're recording like a vox pop at university, it's like, go out, get a bit of crowd noise, and you hear the bike going jing jing in the background and all that. And it's just Liam.
Excuse me, professionals call that wild track, Aaron, just so you know.
No, they call it a bit of Foley, actually.
No, that Foley's you do in a Foley studio. Wild track is you just basically...
No, wild track is when they say do it wild, and then you read it wild.
No. Wild track?
Yes.
No.
Yeah, we're coming from different areas of the profession here.
Yes.
When I wild track something, I'm doing it wild.
Yeah.
I'm not... Can,
anyway, look
on George's face. Get a station there, everybody at home. Looking at me as if I didn't know what on earth I was talking about. God.
I laughed so much I nearly fell over.
It could be like Tony Gale.
I'm feeling your hatred, Chidge.
I mean, could I have been more patronising?
No. Impossible. Well, it's patronising with some evil at the same time.
Liam might be finding us on the street, but let's be fair, the best guest we have is Tony Gale, who always phones off while he's on the convenience.
No way.
Always.
We've never had Tony Gale on.
I think
the show,
he has a phone built in.
Probably, though.
Like an old school...
Yeah, but sorry to interrupt you, but it's quiet, it's focused, it's isolated, and you're only concentrating on two things.
See, the thing about Tony is, I imagine he's got like the toilet separate from the actual main bathroom, and he's got one of those sort of like a slimline telephone. By the way, can I just say, very, very, very sad to hear the passing of Clive Swift today.
Yeah.
Really sad. And when I think of Slimline telephone, I think of Hyacinth Bouquet, of course, Slimline cordless white telephone. Yeah. And I imagine Tony Gale has that exact model hanging.
Listen, can we get Tony Gale on when we play West Ham or Fulham?
Yeah.
For opposite view.
Tony Gale.
Yeah. And if we get him on, I'm going to ask him, Tony, whenever you do co-commentary on a Chelsea game, considering you're supposed to be a Chelsea fan, why are you so hateful about
us? Yeah, he is very hateful. Yeah. Also, just like to shout out to Jeremy Hardy, unfortunately. Who was a fabulous comic, and it's such a huge loss. And I'm upset by that. As I'm upset,
you know
by
him.
Yeah.
I thought you might.
I worked with him a couple of
times. Did you ever meet Clive?
Yeah, because his brother is the father of a friend of mine, whose names have completely escaped me. Julia Swift, the actress, his brother's, I can't remember the name of the brother, my mind's going. Move swiftly on, think of something else now.
We will.
See what you've done there, John.
We will. Up next, we're going to be getting the press report from Liam Toomey. He is, of course, the Chelsea correspondent from ESPN. You can get your calls in 0208 702558. We're taking your opinions on Sarri, on Sarismo, and just general frivolity, whatever you want to talk about tonight.
558 AM. Love Sport.
Worst thing is he missed the ballot too.
Yeah.
You just don't care, do you?
This is like Ronnie Scott's Jazz Club, the podcast.
Well, I'm in my moment here. Ow, get down. Yeah, yowza, ow.
The thing is, it goes from brilliant to progressively worse. That's the thing.
It's a bit like most of the shows we're on.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know what, somebody actually emailed in or posted in on the Monday night version of the show. And he went off on one. I've never heard him so ranty as he was. He went off on one. And actually, some bloke said that, he said that basically Jonathan will you know, start strong but fade.
and I agreed completely, and I did.
You know, he's basically
just
like
the players, mate.
Yeah, he's basically like a battery.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. The funny thing is, I always say, if you listen back to when this station actually started, you probably pick up on some, you know, old episode of the Chelsea Fancast. There's actually a promo for this show with you in it, and it's like you and you're really angry talking about Conte. The thing about Conte is he needs to learn how to play with the players, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, okay. And like listening to you on there, it's quite scary.
Sorry, I'm scary. I don't mean to be.
Should we talk to a man who's not too scary?
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Liam Toomey. He is from ESPN. Liam, first and foremost, where are you calling from, pal?
Oh, I'm just at home now, nowhere.
We
had this vision of you, Liam, in the streets going from scoop to scoop. You know, it was that kind of with outside noise. You know, we were debating whether you'd actually set that up yourself and you were just playing a loudspeaker in the background of you walking, you know, and you didn't really do that at all. You were in your home, so. But that
it's
just
not deadline day anymore.
No, that's true.
Liam, talk to us about Maurizio Sarri. Of course, a fairly quiet deadline day on the incomings yesterday for Chelsea. Of course, Michy Batshuayi, the biggest name that left on loan, as well as Lucas Piazon going out for his infinite...
To Chievo. You know,
well, wherever it is, he's gone.
But he's been registered, bizarrely, for the Europa League.
Absolutely baffling. I mean, I'm not going to use the regular question, what was his vibe today, because we all know what his vibe's like. Talk to us about what Maurizio said.
Well, he's just... I think he spent most of the last couple of days processing what happened against Bournemouth. He was extremely less outwardly angry after that game than he was after Arsenal, but just he seemed a little bit beaten down and frustrated more than anything. And he was quite chatty today. He was asked a lot of questions which I imagine would have frustrated him greatly. All the stuff. Like, isn't it your job to motivate the players? Should you try a different formation? Drop Jorginho? Do you need a plan B? You know, all this stuff that I think would really, really annoy someone like Sarri, who sees the game in a certain way, in a certain way alone. But he answered everything in a very calm and measured way, justifying his the way he sees football, insisting that he's not going to change, calling himself a dreamer, very, very aspirational type of coach. And it's not the sort of thing that would have satisfied any of his critics, but it's clear that if he has to go down with this ship, he's more than willing to do it.
I've got to be honest, Liam, I watched it, funnily enough, in a very small room, a bit like Tony Gale when he's on the phone to us, Aaron. But I actually watched the presser while on the job, as it were. But anyway, what I remember mostly from it was that he came across, I have to be honest, I think he's quite mad, Liam. That's the only way I can put it. I just think he's deluded. All this talk about I'm a dreamer and that's why I want to play my football. You know, there's not an ounce of pragmatism in this guy. And what I was really intrigued by, I think it was the bloke from Sky that was asking the questions at first, wasn't it? And he actually, to be fair, really drilled into the, you know, the tactics and why it's not working. And he did mention Jorginho. But I thought Sarri's answer was completely unsatisfactory. I was amazed he didn't follow it up with, well, yeah, you say that, but, you know, what about the fact that so many other teams have worked out that the way to stop Chelsea playing is by marking Jorginho out the game? Nobody asked that. I was astonished.
Yeah, and I think his answer would have been just that the rest of the team isn't working well enough, so that, like, I mean, Italian teams tried every single week to mark Jorginho out of the game, but they couldn't do it because Napoli had so much else going on elsewhere around the pitch and so many other threats, and they could build up play in so many different ways that if you did just focus on Jorginho, you would pay a very high price elsewhere. At the moment, teams are getting away with that, and they're managing to do it very easily because Chelsea's attack is, well, nothing really. There's nothing going on in the final third, and I thought Sarri did actually explain that quite well in terms of what he sees the problem as. He mentioned it after Bournemouth, but he expanded on it a bit here, saying that too many players basically are playing with their back to goal rather than actually trying to stretch the opposition and run onto it and inject a little bit of urgency into things. And he sort of took a thinly veiled, not a dig, I don't think, because Sarri doesn't really do that, but criticism of the way the wide players are playing, Hazard, Willian, Pedro, saying that they're coming too narrow whenever they get the ball. And that means that, you know, teams that just pack the middle against Chelsea, it's very, very easy for them to nullify them.
Yeah, but Liam,
there's zero width to the attack.
Well, that's, yeah, and I agree with that. But then isn't that not what happens when both of your fullbacks are instructed to go herring up the wing and occupy the space that those wide players are supposed to be in? And incidentally, also leave huge gaps behind, which gets exploited by a good counter-attack team.
Well, quite, yeah. And one of the things I saw against Bournemouth was that whenever they did work the ball into Azpilicueta's feet on the right-hand side, despite having all these bodies in the opposition half, Higuain was the only Chelsea player in the Bournemouth box. And it doesn't. You could have Ronaldo up front and he wouldn't have been able to score in that game.
Because or even Pelé, I expect.
But every time the ball came in, he was surrounded by five or six Bournemouth players, and there wasn't even a hint of a blue shirt to try and divide their attention in the penalty area. So there are clear problems structurally with the way Chelsea are playing. And
I think one of the problems is that Dave just cannot centre. It was just bizarre seeing every single time he centred the ball, it hit a Bournemouth man, mostly Ake most of the time. But I'm just bemused by how backwards the team has gone in their application of what he's after. Because, you know, you just have to watch any video of Napoli on YouTube when Sarri was managing them to see that everything is just two touches or one touch. And the ball, that's why they would have no problem if Jorginho was marked, because the ball was whipped around so quickly. And at the moment, everybody takes two to three touches. So therefore, the impetus just disappears. And that's why he writes all these notes. There's been an explosion of people saying, what on earth does he write on social media? What does he write down? What he's writing down what people aren't doing and where they're supposed to be most of the time. And it's as an advocate of what of his football and what he's attempting to achieve, I'm beginning to despair about the way the team is applying itself. And the trouble is that I don't think it can't go on like this. So I don't know what he does. I don't know how he manages to get out of this setup.
Because he's not going to change, yeah. Is he, Liam? No, and I think no. That was what was made quite clear in the presser, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's bang on, JK. He said after the Bournemouth game, I'm not seeing any signal of my work on the pitch, and that's why I'm really frustrated. So, you know, everyone criticising the way Chelsea are playing under Sarri, it's perfectly valid to do that, but you have to remain mindful that this is not what he wants to see either. This is not the plan. This is the plan going wrong because the players aren't executing it, and that could be because they're just not suitable, although Sarri insisted again today that they are. He talked a lot about changing the mentality of the team. He made a point that this group of players in particular have been used in the last few years to playing on the counter-attack, where the forward players are always running onto the ball and they're always attacking space and they're always attacking sort of backpedalling defenders, whereas now the team is trying to control every game. They're trying to play in the opposition half as much as possible. And it's a change of mindset as much as anything, but it's also a change of positioning in different situations and how they combine. And he's saying, to be honest, I don't think they were doing it particularly well early in the season either. But what they were doing, you know, I remember us talking about it at the time that the results were better than the performances. I think they were out-talenting teams, partly because Hazard started the season so well,
yeah,
and then, you know, as maybe the form of certain individuals dropped off, you started to see the fact that they haven't really acclimatized to the system very much at all begin to shine through, and now these structural problems are threatening to send everything into a bit of a drift.
Liam, just quite quickly to finish up, I mean, given that it was quite weird. As I said, it did seem a bit mad to me. But he kind of dreamily went on about saying, "No, I've got my ideals, and that's what I'm going to do." You know, so he kind of made a bit of a stand there, I thought. But so, given the fact he's not going to change, do you think he's going to be given the time to do this? Because there seems to be such a disconnect between what he wants to do and what the players are doing. It's going to take either a completely new squad of players or something before it does change. So do you think he's going to get the time from the club?
Well, I find it a really interesting one to think about because I think Sarri is a very different appointment to any coach that they've made before. You know, he's often compared to Scolari and Villas-Boas, but I don't think that's really fair. But I think he's the first sort of ideas coach that Chelsea have appointed purely on the strength of his ideas. You know, he's not come in because he's a proven trophy winner or anything. It's purely because Abramovich wants to see Napoli's football at Chelsea. And so that begs the question whether Sarri might be judged differently from previous coaches as well. And whether he says he needs more time, maybe he will be trusted where others weren't. But what I do know is that, you know, the sense pretty consistently from Chelsea is that top four is absolutely crucial, particularly after they missed it last year. So if this drift continues, I mean, God knows what will happen if they lose at home to Huddersfield, a team that can't score goals themselves on Saturday. I don't think that will happen, but there's a decent chance that Huddersfield could make them look very laboured and uninspired. But if top four does start to look in jeopardy, if things begin to look like they're beyond sort of repair, then, well, we know the history of Chelsea. It's hard to know what will happen, but we know what's happened in the past.
Yeah, certainly. Liam, thank you so much for joining
us
this evening.
Enjoy
your Friday night.
Brilliant.
Enjoy your weekend. Liam Toomey there from ESPN with us on Love Sport Radio. We are going to take a pause on the way back. We're going to begin our proper review to that game, Bournemouth versus Chelsea, here on Love Sport.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
Yeah, this is Chelsea Fancast, and this is Love Sport Radio for your Friday night across the capital. 0208 7020. Why'd you look confused?
No, I'm just about to dive in.
Okay, 0208 7020.
558. No, I didn't mean that. I was about to say it was David Swift. I was thinking about Drop the Dead Donkey, who's brother to Clive Swift, who died today. That's all I wanted to say, because I couldn't remember his name.
Fair enough.
Thank
Fair
you very much.
Yeah, if you'd
Lovely
like
actors
to,
all.
If you'd like to have your say, as we talk about Maurizio Sarri, as we talk about Sarismo, and potentially, you know, time frames on the Chelsea manager and your opinions on the Chelsea manager as well. We'd love to hear from you at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or at Chelsea Fancast. Chich.
Hello.
Let's talk about the game against Bournemouth.
What?
I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, a lot of, you know, team fat fans of other teams sitting around just in absolute sheer sort of amazement. I saw our very own Marco just, you know, sort of beside himself with in despair.
You know, I after the fact, I consider myself extremely lucky because I nearly got a ticket to that. And actually, because I'm in Southampton all day on Wednesday, I could have just tootled along down the old M27 and I could have got there. And normally I would, but I didn't for some reason. So that meant I couldn't. It wasn't live on telly. It wasn't live on radio. The only way you could follow the game was on Chelsea's app, The Fifth Stand. They have their own commentary with John Harley, would you believe? As
no.
The
oh, wow.
No, not really. No. Rather, I think maybe he was just fed up with the game like everybody, but he's quite monosyllabic, monotone and a bit dull, I thought. Bless him.
He got an FA Cup winner's medal despite being a sub and not getting on.
I liked John Harley, actually.
Yeah, he was a decent player, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Did he go Sheffield United? He went to
Burnley.
And Sheffield
Fulham.
United under Warnock. Yeah.
Anyway, no doubt he will feature in a future Chelsea Fancast Love Sport Radio quiz.
Can I just say how I watched it, as usual?
Yeah.
I turned my phone off and waited till midnight and watched it on Chelsea TV. And I left 5 minutes early.
Did you?
Yeah.
But I mean, look, the reality is, it is shocking. I think this is the heart of the matter in terms of what you and I have been debating about week in, week out. For ages about this whole Sarri thing. Yes, it's a new system. We know all of these, the facts that are out there, the wrong players trying to play a system they don't know how to play, can't play, a manager who won't bend, a manager who has no plan B, a manager who is not programmed. But the reality is that you have to understand the context of all this, and I think this is why the supporters are angry. I think there are many other reasons too, which you and I can get onto later. But the context of this is the biggest defeat we've had since 1996, which is what? 8 years before, or 7 years before, Roman Abramovich took over. So, you know, that is bad. That is really bad. Any way you look at it, it's unacceptable.
Yeah. So we're all trying to find out the reasons for it. And, yes, what do you want to say?
Oh, sorry.
With your hand up.
Sorry,
First
and foremost, I think you've got to look at a few things and you've got to credit Bournemouth for the fact that, you know, Eddie Howe's got the
play. Oh, he worked him out, yeah.
A very... He's got Bournemouth playing a good, attractive, pacey brand of football.
Except they'd lost 10 games, hadn't they, before that, playing anybody.
Do you know what they say? Funny enough, do you know what they say is the biggest change that he's made is dropping Begovic? He's dropped Begovic and bought in Arta Boric, who's about
£665. He's
known to pop down the Polish delicatessen now and then, but he brought in. I think he saved more in that first half than Begovic had in the past five games. There's a crazy stat or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But you look at some
like
Brooks.
And we hit the bar.
Brooks and King, you know, a couple of good players. Stanislas, he's got himself playing.
But they hardly had a kick in the first 35 minutes. Just once again, Chelsea were toothless. Poor old Higuain reminds me of Glenn Murray, slightly worryingly. Wanders around with that kind of slightly older look, you know, and you think, is he actually going to get involved in the game?
If he has Glenn Murray's goal scoring record,
Glenn Murray scored a couple of fantastic goals at the weekend. My goodness. Me against Fulham,
of course, but you know, again, a lot of people have come out and said that, you know, Eddie Howe wouldn't have had to have done much homework on Chelsea because Sarri is predictable.
Apparently he said doesn't matter, you haven't got the ball after the end of the first half. He said don't worry because we will prevail, as it were, which I found slightly worrying.
But this is the thing. I mean, you know, look,
No, I know. In the basis of it is, yeah, we lost 4-0. I agree, and it's getting worse and worse. I think. Yeah,
I wasn't going to say that. But oh, okay. I actually agree with you. Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, the point is that this, I just cannot understand. You know that. I don't know. This is, you know what I was saying earlier on about the fact that there are two, we have the same argument, and we've been having it for years. Basically, I'm a pragmatist and you're an idealist, I think. You're always going on, you get very cross when Chelsea don't play well, usually because you're a perfectionist and you want them, you know, you want them, and I accept that they can't be perfect and I just want them to win. I don't care. If it comes up somebody's backside of the 94th minute, I'm happy.
No, but I like that as well. Obviously, I like
them
to win.
I know, but I know that there are...
But for me, they're playing when it works. They're playing the best football. But and he's trying. And Abramovich is trying to get away from the defensive football.
Look, I've got splinters in my derriere at the moment. I really have about this. There's a half of me that wants to be like a lot of people on social media and a lot of my friends, it has to be said, who are fed up to the back teeth with it. It's doing their nutting and they want him out. They hate the football, they hate what's going on. I go into that later as well, but you know, I do accept actually that we probably do need to change, because people have got very short memories in football, particularly supporters, I think. And you and I know that for a long time, whilst it's wonderful physical power based fast football mainly built on counter-attacking was great fun, and we used to defend stoically against better teams, annoy the life out of them, were the enemies of football, and it was all very funny, and we loved boshing Guardiola and Wenger on the nose. That was all great. The reality is the number of times we used to struggle to break down teams that would park the bus against us because we didn't have the wherewithal, the creativity to break them down, was equally annoying. So something had to change, which was don't sit back and try and counter-attack, control the game, control the possession, and play, you know, play creatively around, through, or whatever these people. So I accept that. And to do it with power and pace like Liverpool Spurs do, brilliant. To do it with just sheer technical brilliance like City do, brilliant. But what I cannot understand is if you haven't got the players to do that right now, why try and impose it on those players who can't do it when you're going to get thumped 4-0 by the likes of Bournemouth, probably finish outside of the top four, and drive half of the supporters up the wall? That's what I don't get. Why can't you be flexible?
Yeah, but how do you be flexible within that system? What do you do? He can't be there saying...
Don't play 4-3-3.
Change the system. Don't play
Kante on the right. Don't play Jorginho. Don't build it all around him.
But he hasn't got a... Perhaps he hasn't got that in his setup. Perhaps he's not that kind of manager
flaw
at all.
As a manager, that's the point. There is a flaw
there. The way he's set up as an individual is to do that.
He's put his hand up. Very sweet.
I just put my hand up because you know I'm with two sort of elder gentlemen.
I'm sorry.
Well, you're older than me.
Elder statesman, I think.
Elder statesman.
You're struggling.
Yeah, you're struggling for that word.
You're elder than me, so I've just got to. You're
older than. Words older than me.
I've just got to, you know, show a bit of respect.
Would you like us to draw slightly?
Elder
statesman, would that fit in a bit more?
That his non-conventional route into management has played a part in this, at the fact that he's not sort of conjuring up different things.
I don't think so, because I've managed big companies, small companies, teams of one and two and three, and I'm telling you now that if you sit there completely intractable and willing to change, your head in the clouds with some stupid ideology and philosophy, you don't last very flaming long in the real world.
Hang on a second, it's not stupid though.
Well,
this
okay,
ideology,
I get excited. Yeah. The bottom line is if you're not prepared to be flexible, inclusive, collaborative, if it's your way or the highway because you're stuck to this principle and ideal, you don't last 5 minutes in the real world.
He might
particularly
be having these kind of discussions with them, and
we don't know. No, exactly.
He may be saying, look, what alternative do we have? Do you want to revert to playing another way? And they may be saying, no, we're actually trying to play the way you want, because they see the possibility. They may be fearful of playing. They may be in a situation where they're trying to be as regimented as he requires, and they're not managing it. I'm beginning to sense that's part of it.
I would bang on, mate. I mean, this is... I think we need to go to a break, but I'd love to pick that up afterwards. Yeah.
I think we should all, you know, after all this excitement, just sit down and have a nice cup of tea during the break.
But I haven't got any tea. There's no tea here, mate.
Well, we could have one, though.
Okay, all right. Send out a boy.
Let's go for a small boy
to get something for us.
Love Sport, 558 AM.
You know, like on the way back from these breaks, I'm just going to start putting my hand up.
Ow.
Do you know, but it works, though. We've respected it, haven't we?
Every time.
And I mean, just to give you an idea of how pumped up Jonathan and I are tonight, we didn't stop in the break. We just carried on.
Yeah. And I feel that the gems have disappeared now.
No. We can go back there.
I mean, the phone lines are hot.
They're hot.
They're what?
We got a caller on the line.
They're hot.
Do we have a caller on the line, Aaron?
Let's go to Dean. He's on line two. He's in London. Dean, are you hot?
I'm very hot in the car with the heating on.
How are you, pal? Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, good. I just wanted to speak to Chidge, asking why Sarri's not changing if the player's not playing the system. And to me, it's because he's been employed to play this way. And come the summer, the club aren't going to spend the money they need to replace the players they need to replace. So he needs to keep regimenting the players that he's got to try and get the system right. And that's why there's no plan B.
Unless he brings the kids in.
So go on, Dean. Carry on.
Yeah, the plan is the plan, and the players have to make it work for him. And I think it's unfair for him to get the criticism from the Bournemouth game when the players make four individual mistakes and they concede four goals. If they don't do that and they create the chances they should create in the second half, then we win the game and there's no discussion about his future at all.
Yeah, no, that's a valid point. I mean, we were saying much the same, Jonathan and I, when you know, we were off air during the break, but I just think there's a complete disconnect between the players he needs to play that system. I really do, and I accept, you know, like I said before, that we do perhaps need to change. It needs to go a different way. But, you know, I don't think these players are capable, for whatever reason it might be, which could be they just don't listen, they're not interested, or it's so ingrained how they played before, or they're all individuals, which is quite true. They're kind of got, you know, flair players, they're not robots. You know, whatever it might be, I just cannot see these players being able to carry out his system. So that means we reach an impasse. When you get an impasse, something has to move, something has to be dislodged. And we all know what that means at Chelsea. It's either the manager or the players. And of course, it's easier to get rid of one person than it is to get rid of 11. But the trouble is, Dean, if they get rid of the manager again, we're right back. It's like your Groundhog Day, isn't it? We go right back to where we've been for the last three managers and nothing changes and we go on. But I think your point about, not being able to go and buy, you know, because Pep, you know, Guardiola was able to go and buy whoever he wanted to go and implement his system or get players to play his system. Klopp, in his own way, has done the same thing too. Tottenham, I think, have been, you know, different. You know, in a sense, they've been cleverer than both City and Liverpool. But if you're saying that we're not going to get, or he's not going to get the players he needs to play his system, then I ask you, where do we go from here?
I think we have to carry on. But otherwise, what was the point of employing him in the first place? We might as well have just stuck with Conte and signed the players he wanted to sign.
Yeah.
All the over 30 Italians that he wanted. We ended up doing that anyway with Sarri, buying Higuain.
I agree with that, but you know, if they're not going to get the players that he needs to play his system, and the current players, for whatever reason, can't play his system, where do we go from here then? Because, you know, the results will just get worse, surely, won't they?
Well, no, because they are professional footballers. They should, over time, be able to adapt. And then you're not trying to change six players, you're only maybe trying to change two or three. And that becomes a lot easier to do, especially if you're going to start selling players. If Hazard does go in the summer, he's going to free up a lot of spare money for them to buy the players they do need.
He likes playing with very small squads. He, when he did it with Napoli, he only played with the same players all the time. It was difficult for other players to get in. He likes playing with the players that he thinks he can make work.
I mean, there's an argument to be had here that, you know, he might be brilliant and it's Cerismo is the second coming of whatever. But there's an argument to be had that it might not work in the Premier League.
It's very, very true. As what we talked about the other week, the Italian League is a very different league to the Premier League. The hustle and bustle of the Premier League. Once again, Dean, thank you for your call.
Cheers,
stay
Dino.
Warm
Sorry, mate,
in your
Steve.
Car. Stay warm. It's integral.
He made some very interesting points, I have to say.
Definitely, definitely. Let's talk to Daniel. He's in Sweden.
Yeah, we know Daniel. Hello, mate. How are you?
Hello, lads. Not too bad. How are you guys?
I'm very, very good. Daniel wrote a fantastic blog on Lewis Baker for us about a month ago. I remember
Top man.
So what can we do you for, mate? What can we do you for?
Not that fan about Baker, you know. He played his first game for Reading, didn't he? And got substituted at halftime.
That's right.
We wish him well, don't we? But what a hole he's in right now.
Indeed.
Too bad. Anyway, thank you so much for a great show again, guys. JK, you were absolutely on fire last show. Amazing stuff.
Thank you.
I wrote to you guys on Twitter as well. Yeah, it was a really, really good show. On Monday, sorry, last Friday as well. Yeah, you're always brilliant. Anyway, I think we should back Sarri, guys. Seriously, I think he's the most competent manager we had in a while, and I think the comparison with him and Scolari and Villas Boas is absolutely rubbish. You know, they didn't have
absolutely.
A plan. They didn't knew what they were doing, to be honest. Sarri definitely has a plan, and he tries his best. And I believe that Liam Toomey before was absolutely bang on when he said that Sarri's not liking what he sees as well, you know, but you can see that there is an idea there. And we've been very unlucky as well. Again, we hit the post. I don't know which time in a row in a game that...
I think we've hit the bar and the post, the woodwork, 17 times, Daniel, I think, this season.
Yeah, there you go. Again, if that ball goes in, the result would probably be different. Believe me, the outcome of the game, and the game was rubbish, so I'm not saying that. But I think also that we're a very divided group of supporters, aren't we? I mean, people are shouting out, we need to play Emerson, we need to play Hudson-Odoi, we need to back Sarri, we need to sack Sarri. It's a lot of different opinions out there.
I know there's apparently on Twitter now, we need to sell, that Abramovich needs to sell the club, apparently.
Yeah, amazing. Total meltdown.
Yeah.
My point being that I believe that the know-how of Sarri, his intelligence, the man breathes, eats, sleeps football. We can't get rid of him just yet. We need to give him time to get his ideas across. That's my point.
You know, I'm on your side completely. You know that, Daniel. That's what I'm just hoping he gets the time. But I'm worried that the players are panicking and they're not being able to fulfil this dream. Unfortunately,
and we all are definitely, but. I believe that you can criticize him, let's be honest. I mean, especially from two points of view, one being his match coaching or plan B, as people like to call it, and one being that he rotates. He could have been rotating a little bit more, and I believe it was Dean that just mentioned it in the call before. And I do agree with that. But
we don't know what the club are actually going to be doing with this. We don't know what the club are thinking. We don't know if the club have given him time. We don't know if the club have said, actually, we love this style of football you're trying to play. And as Guardiola was given time, as Klopp was given time, we'll allow you to be not playing very well. The dilemma is whether they're going to actually back him in the transfer market, which I doubt. So it would be interesting to see.
It would be interesting to see in the summer. Obviously,
If he's still there, of course.
I believe he will be, JK. I can't really see that, you know, him be being sacked. Well, I can't see us drop that many points because we are unlucky as well. So we will turn this around. We'll definitely get a win tomorrow. And we'll probably be the week after we're playing City, right?
Yes.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Uh-oh, yeah.
No, you never know. It would be very Chelsea to beat City, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would, and that's where our problem lays, and that's why Conte started to play at counter-attack football in the first place, because the same group of players, we're not really adapted to keep the ball in the opposition half, you know, big periods of the game like that, and we seem to struggle when we are forced to attack. And that's a problem. But I really believe that we will adapt to that mentality sooner or later.
Dan, thank you so much for joining us all the way from Sweden this evening. Really appreciate
well done, Daniel.
Your call. 0208 70 20 558. Keep them coming in. Paddy's on the lines this evening. He's waiting to take your call. Plus any song requests, because we started doing that on a few shows.
Have we?
Any song requests off breaks?
Can I be the veto of that?
No, you can't. Any song requests off breaks. If Paddy finds them suitable, you will get them heard. Believe me, you will. It's Love Sport Radio with the Chelsea Fancast.
Come for the sport. Stay for the chat. Love Sport Radio.
See, I nominated This Girl Is On Fire by Alicia Keys, but I know Pads is a big Take That fan. He's a massive, he loves Gary Barlow.
So he misses
his hair on Gary Barlow.
You know what? Paddy can know what he should know where he can take that and shove it.
Well, that's just not very nice, is it? But we did it because Daniel said You Are On Fire.
Yeah.
Oh, I sweet.
Like, so this is why we played.
Why didn't he play Fire by The Crazy World of Arthur Brown?
Yeah, fire. Yeah. I need you to burn.
They're too young, mate.
I want you to burn.
No, to be fair, I wanted Freed From Desire by you know, Gala.
Oh, that's alright, yeah. We like
that. JK's on fire. Your defence is terrified. JK's on fire.
Yeah, yeah. No. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very
would've
good.
Nice.
Yeah,
it would have been
lovely.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's
meanwhile.
Go back to the lines.
I think it's JK's on fire. Your audience is putrefied.
Have a stone audience.
Yeah. You turn them to stone.
I turn them to stone. They're not listening.
Exactly.
Anyway.
I love the fact that Dean said, I've got a question for Chidge.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, do you know what? Mark's...
Well, maybe he didn't think I was going to say agree with him. Maybe thought...
No, Mark's on the line for Cincinnati.
On, Mark's on,
you never know, he might have a question for me.
Go on, Mark. Have you got a question for what's your name? Aaron.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hello, right, mate. Pal. You're all right.
How are you guys doing today?
Yeah, we had snow here. I'm in shock, Mark. I mean, you're in Cincinnati, so I would imagine it's really cold there at the moment, isn't it?
Yes, and it snowed last night as well. So
yeah, I saw the was it Lake Michigan? Is it Lake Michigan on Chicago? Absolutely frozen over.
Yep,
unbelievable. And we're worried about...
My sister lives in Chicago. It's, like, deadly cold up there right now.
Yeah, I know. Crazy. Anyway, you didn't phone us up all the way from Cincinnati to talk about the weather. You talked to the phone to talk about Chelsea, I suspect.
Both. Yeah, you know, I've been listening to the conversation, and I understand what you're saying. Chidge is about as far as they feel. If it's not working, then they need to switch it. But I think for me, and I wrote this on Twitter earlier, I think that, you know, as humans, when you come under pressure, you tend to revert back to what you know. And I think that if we switch now, the players aren't going to learn how to play like this. And I know it's hard to watch sometimes, and I know that, you know, who wants to lose 4-0 to anyone? But I think now if we switch the formation, then you might as well just sack the manager. I don't see what the point of what we're doing if we're just going to tuck our tails, run when it gets hard. It's hard because we're doing something
Mark, Mark, I think that's a superb point, and I agree with you. And I think this is the trouble. This is why we're at an impasse, because when you're under pressure, you're right. We do revert to what we're comfortable with and what we know best. That's what happens to us automatically. And that's what Sarri's doing. This is why he doesn't change. And this is why the players can't change, because what happens when they do go a goal down, and we see it when they are under pressure, when another team stifles what they're set out to do, they revert back to what they know. Now, okay, so what do? You either don't change anything, which means we're going to carry on losing more games, we're probably not going to finish in the top four, or whatever, who knows. But the reality is, there is, as I alluded to earlier on, there is a bigger picture and a wider context. Now, I'm not for one minute saying we should just sack Sarri at the first minute of trouble, because I think, like I said earlier on, that kind of defeats the whole object of trying to change in the first place. Going through changes will create pain. You know, it doesn't happen seamlessly or smoothly a lot of the time. So sometimes you have to accept that if you generally want to change. But what I'm really saying is, well, is Roman going to accept us not being in top four? Is Roman going to accept us losing like we did against Bournemouth? And more importantly, are the supporters?
The supporters won't definitely.
Well, no, the ones who had to stand out in the Vitality Stadium, freezing then, you know what's
singing
off.
You don't know what you're doing when Higuain is taken off. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they don't have... This is not about unconditional love, you know. Sometimes you get the hump because what you're seeing you don't understand, don't like, and you think it's rubbish and you're cold.
Yeah.
Exactly that. Mark Wigg. We're gonna have to leave it there. I do apologise,
but
yeah, I know. Do you know what it is? We're approaching the news at 8 o'clock.
Oh, blimey, that's sorry, mate.
Mark, sorry about that,
though.
Pal. Great to hear from you. I do apologise.
Yeah, thank you.
I'll tell you what, if you know, whoever wants to give us a call back after the break, 0208 70 25 58. We'd love to hear from you. We definitely love to hear from you. I do apologise to Mark though in Cincinnati.
Shame. Just, we love Mark.
Yeah, just being rushed there. Very quickly though, Chidge, fill us in on the quiz. What's the score?
Amazingly.
Quiz.
Eddie McCready's Blue and White Army, or Eddie McCready 1977, also known as Mark to his friends. He's come up with two that I didn't have on my original list, so we've now got 13. And they've done very, very well. We've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 3, 5, 6 on the list, and I think somebody else has got another 2. So we've got 8 out of my original 11, plus the 2 that Mark's shoved in there as well. So they're doing well. I'm impressed.
They are doing very, very well indeed. Kiddo, you thought of many?
Shearer.
We'll leave you to on your own. Anyway, 7:56 across the capital. This is Love Sport Radio. We're going to be heading for your news at 8 very, very shortly indeed. Get involved with the quiz 0208 70 25 58 at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or at Chelsea Fancast. Some of the finds on this quiz tonight are absolutely incredible. We've just sat here and just talked about one, which is it's blown our socks off.
It has. I'm impressed.
My sock's gone out
but
the window.
I'm impressed, but I'm not surprised. Eddie McCready, 1977.
He's a
font of knowledge. And also one of the nicest people you'll meet at Chelsea, by the way.
Isn't it a fount of knowledge? Font is what we write.
Isn't a font like a big pool?
I always thought it was a font of knowledge.
Well, I'm going to have to look that up.
I think you will.
Yes.
But anyway, he's also one of the nicest people you meet at Chelsea. He's a lovely bloke.
Just like you, isn't he?
Not quite. He's nicer.
Fair play. Join us after the break for the balance of the Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport Radio. Approaching it.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great! I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy, I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
8 o'clock.
The pensioners are back, but with no walking sticks in sight. They're carefree, wherever they may be. They're the famous CFC. Blue is their colour and football is their game. If you come to Stamford Bridge, you'll remember their name. It's the Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport.
Together.
it's like things. I think when I walked in the office this evening, Chidge was talking about some feature on his iPhone and, you know, disabling it. But I've just shown him that, you know, I get this recommended tweet on you know, the things you should look out for. And one of them just popped up. It's about bubonic plague.
Oh, have you ever talked about bubos?
Hang on, isn't that also known as the Black Death?
I have no idea. Yeah. You were probably around then, weren't you?
I was. I loved
you were a monk.
You invented it.
Yeah, yeah. When they said bring out your dead, I was the man who brung the dead out.
On what? On a horse?
Yeah, no, what? On a little tray.
Penny for an ex-leper.
I meant cart, actually.
It's the same cart you'd use to wheel dinner in later that night. Eat with squeaky wheel. It's just very
that's a buffet cart. A bit different.
Love Sport Radio. Good evening, Stav Vachij and Jonathan Kiddo-Kid. While you were away, I don't know what you were doing outside. During the
break. Stretching me legs.
Go for a stretch.
I get bum aches sitting here for an hour.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. So the chairs don't suit my posture.
In your glutes. They get a bit tense.
I've got bad back, mate.
You should bring your own cushion, like, you know, like a driving instructor's car. You should just have like a couple of cushions. Just set.
Not a bad idea.
You know, some random cushions. But I was saying to Kiddo that, you know,
because I've lost so much weight out of my posteriors. My bum's become a bit bony.
Can we break? Should we chip together and buy him a cushion?
I'd be happy to.
Happy. Yeah. Happy. Or a milk crate.
Or even a board.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, you get splinters in
or
your
rubber
backside.
Ring.
What a donut pillow!
that was a look that knew. What were you trying to say, Aaron? For the last 5 minutes,
I just sorry, said mate. That, you know, we were talking, Jonathan and I, that about, you know, the fixture that's coming up, Chelsea versus Huddersfield, and how he's going to be fed the scraps tomorrow in hospitality for the quality of game that's expected. Hospitality, the food's going to be very meagre. And he agreed.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yes.
Really?
Yes,
do you think so? They're cutting back, are they?
Gruel.
Well, it's Huddersfield. They're bound to not have the same pheasant
pie. They're not going to have Yorkshire pudding and roast beef.
There might be a theme, actually.
They always have that. I've always had that when I've seen you there.
Yeah, no. It's always... It's fact, there's an excess of grub in hospitality, generally.
Yeah.
In Aussies. It's good. They do very well.
It's very nice food.
Very nice.
Is it John Hollins in there still?
Yeah, he keeps wandering in. I don't understand, because he's got his own suite. But
I don't think he's allowed in there.
He keeps wandering in.
What he does, he comes in and sits.
You can just imagine just walking like a hello.
Right? No, I love
he sits
John
at the table
Hollins.
Next to me, actually. So
does
I always,
really?
Yeah.
You should always say hello to him.
I do,
because we know him.
I do.
The show.
I always mention you, and he wants to be back on.
He's welcome anytime.
I'll tell him tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll get him to come in.
Yeah, we should. Well, I'll mention that to him.
Yeah, get him to come in
if he's interested. Yeah,
he's always
because he likes doing all of that.
Yeah, he's the stories he can tell.
Of course he can.
And he can do an off-air version too, which are even funnier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we digress.
Plenty on the way this hour. We're going to be talking chancel window, looking ahead to the game against Huddersfield Town. Just at the start of this hour, we're going to be carrying on talking about... So I want to sort of cap this off. A lot of people talking about Sarri's future. Will he sort of... Will the club stick or twist? Will Sarri stick or twist? Will he stick with this formation that he's known for? Will he, you know, listen to people around him and change? I did mention we actually had a tweet in.
From
Jace McGovern, who's part of the Tottenham fan show here. He just listening in tonight. Hi, Jace. Said, as an outsider, what did the panel think of the Hazard comments?
Yeah, but I think he made those comments the other day, didn't he? But I think Hazard is a perfect example of the process, is that he's not actually playing very well in the system, even playing on the wing. I don't think he's being defended by referees again. I think earlier on in the season, he was on fire early on, wasn't he, early on in the season. And I think that probably masked the fact that we weren't quite still, well, obviously not playing the way that Sarri wanted. But my fear is that he can't adapt at all to Sarri's system. I just wanted to make a point about, which I ranted madly about the other day on the Monday show, is that everybody wants Odoi to be automatically selected. Mm. And he made a very obvious gesture, didn't he, Sarri, during the week, by not even having him on the bench. Because we have to remember that he is not the great hope that all the supporters want him to be yet, and I'm convinced he will be.
Hang on a minute. How can you be the great hope not yet? Well, the whole point of being the hope is that you are not yet, because it's a hope.
The great hope. Well, all right. Well, I was trying to express it differently. All right. He's not the
finished article.
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant. Yeah. That's exactly what I meant.
Carry on.
Thank you for interpreting. Yeah, I got the words wrong then. Okay. Yeah.
No, you had the right words though, just in the wrong order. Well,
yes. Yeah. He's not, and I keep going on about this, but you know, you can't compare him and William. He's going to play William instead. William has played other than well, he was on the bench, wasn't he? He selected Pedro instead of him. He's got Pedro and William to get into the team, to get into the team. He won't be selected in front of them, despite everybody on Twitter's and Facebook's desire. He will not get into the team ahead of those two because they're more experienced and, I'm afraid to say, at the moment, better players. And I know people are going to go, that's not true at all. But what we've seen of Hudson-Odoi is he's got great potential, but it's not going to be realised by just sticking him in the first team, particularly if he's not doing what Sarri requires, which is keeps going on about this defensive phase as well. And if none of the players are achieving what he wants. Once again, we're back to what we were talking about before. I don't know what we're going to do if this team cannot achieve it. But what we haven't also talked about is if there is this transfer embargo, which perhaps the club are very aware of, perhaps their view will be keep the manager, bring in the youth that are all on loan, that are the better players,
and try and
make that work.
So many questions,
questions, no answers.
And I think it really just makes the whole club look like an absolute it's a shambles, mate.
It is a bit shambolic.
Whatever way you look at it, yeah. It's a shambles at the moment.
Yeah. It is indeed. Can I make my point now?
Oh, lovely, putting your hand up.
Yeah, put my hand up. Just want to let you know that it is, of course, the start of the Six Nations tonight. France taking on Wales in the Stade de France.
Really, what is happening? Are they winning?
Well, if you turn around, you'll see.
I do not wish to look.
France are 5 points up to Wales is nil.
Oh.
It's been an intriguing.
Am I allowed to say that's the vegetable derby? The garlic munchers versus the leek munchers.
I think we'll find the other cockroaches.
Am I allowed to say that?
No, I think. They are the chickens, are they not?
France are chickens.
They are the poulet. Le fromage.
Les frogs, mate.
Les grenouilles. Do you know how many French accents he's done? This is a lovely sausage. Yeah. Preston North End nil, Derby County nil in the Championship. And how's the cricket going, Chidge?
They've got an advert for a very nice hotel chain.
I've just cut to the wrong time.
Thanks for stitching me right up.
We're being beaten. That's all we need to know.
No problem. 0208 70 2558. Come on and have your say. We're going to be talking transfers next. And in the words of Jonathan Kidd, this is a lovely sausage.
Love Sport, 558 AM.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire.
I was just waiting, literally. I just had Paddy count me down a win. Killer, he does a very good scream in a minute, and then that. I mean,
he goes, oh no, it comes again. Oh no, he goes.
Yeah, all right. Listen.
Oh no!
Oh no! Anyway, to answer Jace's question,
yeah,
I think Hazard is a bit like Sarri, actually. He's unbelievably forthright and honest in a lot of his comments. And the idea that he frustrates all managers. But I think what it does is it underpins the fact that he's not prepared, perhaps, to take the discipline in terms of how Sarri wants Chelsea to play.
Mm.
And he is a free spirit and an individual. And I think this is one of the problems that we've got. A lot of our players are free-spirited, creative individuals. Hang on, and that's how they.
I was going to agree. I can say Barkley is similar, and he's been straight-jacketed.
He's younger, and I think you and I were saying this earlier. There's a lot of that team who are like that. Hazard 27, William 30, 31, Pedro 31, 32. You cannot teach old dogs new tricks. They're too old to take it. They won't take it. They won't change.
You hope they can change,
but I don't think they will, mate. So I guess it's a fair point, Jace, and you know, I think if it wasn't for Hazard, this is an interesting, other interesting point, if it wasn't that it was Hazard, we would probably be calling him out, saying, how disgraceful, going against the manager, being ill-disciplined, well, and all of
there
that.
There is also the fear at the moment that they've downed tools, and it is the same group of people downing tools who are or are difficult in the dressing room, and Hazard is being singled out as one of them.
You know, last three managers, what's been the common denominator, you could argue?
Yeah.
Who's the most important player?
Yeah, it's been Hazard.
So if there's any player power, who's the one player they don't want to go? Hazard.
And yet Luiz always comes in and says, we're trying to make his system work.
I think, unless you're kind of allegedly racist to his mates, which is what happened with Conte, you know, I think Luiz is actually a peacemaker. I like Luiz a lot. Anyway, here's the thing.
Yeah.
We all think that Hazard is... we don't know, really. It's 50-50, isn't it, really, whether he goes or not in the summer. But do you think what's going on at the moment with, A, the club, B, how they're all performing, C, trying to take on... Or do you think that, in a sense, this is kind of forcing his hand to go?
Yeah. If the team starts getting worse and worse, he won't want to be there anymore, will he?
And he doesn't want to change. He's not going to want to change for another manager, no. I don't think.
Well, I think if he's given the opportunity to go to Madrid and play how he wants, because I think he said, didn't he, I always do what I want regardless of what the manager
says. And I think that's the kind of player he is.
Yeah.
But you see, if you go back to my argument before we even went on air, which is I don't like this kind of really directional, instructional, you know, 30 different ways to take a throw-in type football management. I believe in people like Brian Clough. Buy talented players who know how to play football and say, there's the ball, there's the pitch, go and play.
But hasn't that changed now in the modern world?
But football is still a very simple game at heart.
Well, as Kerry Dixon keeps saying, it's down to the players. But you would hope that they would be able to play within this system just because of the brilliance of it. I keep going back to Napoli. You just have to look at the touches, the few touches, the speed the ball goes around the pitch. No wonder Jorginho didn't have to worry about him having a man on him because the ball, it wouldn't go... Jorginho just passed it off and it went round. Then it was a centre and it was a goal.
So are they not technically up to it then?
It's the too many touches.
Because you were saying that they were better than the Napoli players.
They ought to be, hadn't they? They're better. They're more internationals than them.
Yeah.
But it's the... I think he is frustrated because in training, they clearly do what he wants them to do. Mm. Which is to go one touch, two touches, and it's in.
He's got his hand up again. I love it.
Exactly what you've just said. If you apply it and you think about it logically, they're doing it in training.
Yeah.
But they're not doing it in sort of a game. It's got to be the league. It's got to be a case of, you know, it's
coming
the
up against problems they don't expect.
Exactly.
Or anticipate.
I mean, let's be fair. If you play in Serie A, you're not exactly have like a Ryan Shawcross coming in at, you know, like Ivor the engine across.
Well, it was interesting that Higuain actually said the other day he found it unbelievably aggressive. Even just playing against Wednesday, he said he'd not expected
it to
be.
And that was just from his own side.
That was everybody, shouting at him.
Let alone the fans. They were not happy in the Vitality Stadium. I mean, I haven't heard Chelsea supporters. I mean, I'll probably be proven wrong here, but I can't remember the last time I've heard Chelsea supporters say you don't know what you're doing to a Chelsea manager.
Scolari. And Benitez,
Benitez, we just didn't like him anyway.
No.
Scolari definitely got a lot of, know what you're doing.
Yeah, he did.
And he clearly didn't know.
But there was always a look of dismay. I'm just kind of thinking, what have I
done? I've only won the World Cup. What do you know?
Yeah, him and his mustachioed mate.
He was only there for the money, mate, and his own ego, you know.
Villas-Boas, I always feel slightly sorry for.
Did he not get, you don't know what you're doing? He must have had
I think he did a few of those. But I think his dilemma was that he was trying to play a pressing game. Unfortunately, with John Terry,
really bright.
Yeah, not going to work with.
See, it's the kind of same madness, you know. As I said, I just don't understand this. You just don't do this in the real world, you know. You know, why would you try and play a high press with players like John Terry?
We haven't got great speed.
It's
about
just like
them.
Stupid.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you think then that there's a possibility that Roman will just splash some cash, not having done so for such a long time?
Well, we were going to talk about this. I mean, because there are only so many things that can happen in this impasse. One is they give him time, and if you're going to give him time, then you have to bring in players who can play his way, because this lot will never do it, which means you have to go and finance him. Are the club prepared to finance them? From everything we're told, no, they're not.
Because he actually said, I can work with these players because
I'm
a good coach.
That. He should never have said that, because I think that could come back to haunt him. You know, on the other hand, what do you do if you get rid of him and write it off as a bad decision to go and hire somebody like this, then we're right back to where we were.
And who are they going to hire?
Well, we'll go. I mean, Dom Betts was talking to me about Zinedine Zidane. Now, you see, that might be quite interesting, bearing in mind who absolutely adores him.
Yes, yes. But then you just be trying to keep Higuain, but keep Hazard.
But you know,
happy.
So that you keep Hazard for 4 years, you build the team around him. They all play football they can understand. You've got a lot of the youth coming through who also play that kind of football. And we probably win the title again next year. You know, this is where we are, Jonathan. It's nuts.
I know we're dealing with such good players because so many of them are.
If they're motivated, if they're comfortable, if they've got somebody they like, if they think they're going to win something, they usually do go and win.
Apparently,
it.
The monotony of the training is getting to them as well.
So you bring Zidane in, just for argument's sake. Does his league record not sort of concern you? The fact that, you know.
Well, I think three Champions Leagues will do for me.
Three Champions Leagues. Yeah.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Well, yeah, exactly. The only sort of mass sort of positive I see is if you look at how poor Real Madrid have been since he's left, they've scored half the goals as, but you know.
Yeah, but the team, he did what so many managers do. The team grew old together and then he went, which is why he went, I suspect. And look what happened. Ferguson, you could say the same about United.
It's weird, though, because I've been looking at sort of the patterns of things. And if you look
and
at.
And they had Ronaldo, remember?
This is true. This is true. He did affect a few things here and there.
But Hazard, when he's really up for it, can be as effective in the Premier League.
Well, everyone says he's the third best player in the world. Let's be fair. Yeah, exactly. You know, but if you look at sort of patterns of time and core squads and stuff, Arsenal post, you know, the core of their squad, your Vieiras, and, you know, that backline that and the Henry breaking up, barely won anything. United post Fergie barely won anything. And if you look at the Chelsea breakup of the core, your Cech, your Terry, Lampard and Drogba, I'm not saying you haven't won anything, but it's been a little bit sort of stop-start.
Well, it has. It certainly has recently. But I think, you know, we kind of touched on this a bit earlier on about why are so many supporters getting upset. And I would include myself to a degree in that, because I do see this a battle between pragmatism and ideology and dreamers. And, you know, I proudly derided Wenger and Arsenal for the kind of football that they play, which I felt was effete and on the whole ineffective. And we used to bully them and beat them a lot. We were the only English team that would go toe-to-toe with Barcelona and come out on top. Guardiola never beat Chelsea when he was manager of Barcelona, and he ripped it out of everybody. And we did it by defending with 30 men behind the ball and just hope we got a bit lucky, and then stuck our fingers up at them as we ran away. And there was something indomitable about that a lot of Chelsea supporters identified with and loved. And now we're trying to embrace a football which was the epitome of the football that we derided and the kind of managers that we derided. And I think this lies at the heart of a lot of it, actually, or why they get so upset. Plus the fact, as I think you get more footballers who are football supporters who are pragmatists than you do who are idealists. And pragmatists like winning.
And they also, I think, they like to see effort, I think, is the main thing.
Effort,
and,
very English,
as Mark,
that, of
Mark Worrell keeps going on about leadership and nobody on the pitch seems to have the kind of fire in the belly.
Well, there's a good
that,
point.
That we relate to with Frank and JT.
Playing for the shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always said this, and of course we grew up at a time when Chelsea weren't winning anything.
Didn't have shirts.
Were quite rubbish. We didn't really have many talented players. So the minimum requirement was then, and still is for us lot, is that they have to put a shift in for the club and the shirt.
Get your quiz answers in this evening at Love Sport Radio on Twitter, at Chelsea Fancast.
Get the quiz answers in.
Yeah, something like that.
Giving your team the coverage they deserve. Love Sport Radio.
Yeah, time to look ahead to the game at the weekend. Chelsea taking on Huddersfield Town on a busy, busy weekend of sporting action on a cold weekend for the country. 3 o'clock kickoff at the Bridge. I'll give you a couple of just bits of insight, a few stats.
If you want.
Yeah. Chelsea have won two of the previous three Premier League meetings, including Maurizio Sarri's first game as their head coach against Huddersfield. However, the Terriers earned a draw when the teams met at Stamford Bridge last May, a point which guaranteed their Premier League survival. Huddersfield's last league victory over Chelsea was 2-1 at Stamford Bridge in the old second division when, Jonathan Kidd?
1820. I don't know. I'm afraid. Second division.
82.
17. Yeah. 80.
82.
80. Yeah.
March 1963.
Oh no.
March 1963.
I was there.
Three.
You were. Was it at Stamford Bridge?
It was.
I was there. I've got the programme. I was there.
Were you Stamford the line that day?
No, I'm Stamford for the line 1980.
Anyway.
Let's look ahead to this one. Chelsea in danger of losing three league matches in a row for the first time since November 2015. I mean, let's be fair. You wouldn't bet against Chelsea losing tomorrow.
No, you wouldn't.
No.
Although... Thank you, Jonathan. although that's what he thought
it,
of that.
I timed it well.
It's brilliant. Although, there is no way on earth they should lose to a team that are basically already relegated, that can't score a flaming goal, and have let in more goals than anybody else, practically. It would just be insanity, even if they park the flaming bus and a whole pack of Yorkshire Terriers. I mean, you know, it just shouldn't happen. But because of where we are now, because of the fragility, I think, of the players' mentality at the moment, you know, if I was, this German manager, Sievert, or whatever his name is, Sievert?
Basically, Klopp Mark 7.
Yeah, Sievert. Let's go for Sievert, Jan Sievert. If I'm him, I'm going to say, right, okay, two banks of four, somebody on Jorginho all the time,
Jorginho,
and kick Hazard as much as you can,
yeah.
You know, and see what happens. And, and look for the big... vacuous, wide open spaces they're going to leave at the fullback positions, you know, and try and capitalise on that.
They are one word.
And set pieces.
There's one word I want to describe. They're poor.
Poor. They're very poor.
Very, poor. Very poor.
But you know what? They're the kind of team that can dog it out at Stamford Bridge if it's their day.
Well, they did last year, didn't they?
Yeah, if it's their day. And have you seen how we defend at set pieces recently? Yeah, exactly.
And all they'll do is it'll be set pieces where they'll
header in,
attempt
boom,
to score.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I am and unduly worried about
it. If they score and there's 20 minutes to go, all they'll do is then get cramp
exactly.
And lie around and the referee won't
kick,
anything
you know,
about it.
Professional
and,
fouls
yeah,
everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and I have to say, I saw the match against City where they were... I mean, City were in seventh gear and romped home to a 3-1, I think, or 3-0 win. But I tell you what, they weren't as bad as that result made them look. You know, they had a few... I mean, you know, they were attacking City quite a lot in that match. So they're not, you know, they're not idiots. They're in the Premier League, for goodness sake.
They played midweek and they were narrowly beaten by Everton by a goal to nil. And it was a very, very dodgy goal. Yeah. But then again, Everton played for 35 minutes without a man. So, you know, they had Lucas Digne sent off. So, you know, Huddersfield couldn't quite get past them. Disappointed but proud is what Jan Sievert described it as. I mean, if you look at him, if you look at the signings, what they're doing at the moment, they seem like a club who are already gearing up for the championship.
Yeah, that makes sense. But you never know, he might revitalise them so that they stay in the division.
He might relight their fire.
Yeah, but what I'm more interested
good,
in is you know, will what Chelsea will turn up and will Sarri make any changes, Jonathan?
I think the only one that is debatable will be Emerson and Alonso, because I don't think he'll change anybody else. He might put Willian in for Pedro, but once again, Odoi's not gonna make it. Odoi's he'll be third choice again, if at all, if on the bench at all. I don't know. You wonder whether Sarri was making a point about not putting him, selecting him at all for the Bournemouth game. But
the thing I get what you say about that, and I think you speak a lot of sense. And to be fair, I've always made that same point. You know, I've never, ever been one to just throw them in because they're young. But he could be very, very good, and we could lose him, and then Sarri could get fired. And if that happens, I'm going to be absolutely steaming, because it's as if... You know, we've put the eggs in the Sarri basket, and then we lose both Sarri and Callum Hudson.
Yeah, but he's still on a. He's still got 16 months of his contract to go, isn't he, Odoi?
Yeah, he's got a year.
Yeah,
at the end of this summer.
It's not going to happen.
Well, you mean Sarri will be off before?
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah. All right. If he goes. I'm ambivalent. I want him to succeed.
Yeah,
I'm not,
so do I.
I'm not
so
like
do I.
I'm not like the majority of people on Twitter who are being unbelievably aggressive and personal about him in a way that is unbecoming of of Chelsea fans, and I'm just I don't think that's fair on the man.
Oh my God, I've got a great song I found. Ian Dunn, Ian Dunn,
Ian Dunn. He's got no hair, we don't care. Ian Dunn. Oh, I was going to sing that to him.
I've only just
found it.
He
joins us next. Would you like to sing it to him?
Yeah, I bet you. I don't know. Do you want to risk that?
I don't think that's fair.
Could be a very short phone.
It could be. Yeah, I don't think we should.
What we could do is we could just, like, you know, when he comes on the line, we could hear like what his sort of his mood's like. We could gauge
his
mood.
Ask him what his vibe is.
Yes, we will do that, and we'll do it next.
5:58 a.m. Love Sport. The opposition view on Love Sport.
Time to welcome on a proper cult hero. He's an ex-Huddersfield Town cult hero, former York City striker. And I'll tell you what, I usually reserve this question for journalists, Ian, but I'm going to ask, what's your vibe today?
Good evening. My vibe enlightened me. My vibe is, I'm quite chilled this afternoon. I like my snow, so, and a good weekend of football to come along, so yeah. Chilled, I think, is the word.
Of course, there's no snow down here, Ian. It's
really?
My wife's just texted me to say that the M3's shut, mate. Speak for yourself.
Well, it's raining in the middle of London.
Well, yeah. Once you get out of, like, once you get to the burbs, it's quite heavy.
Is it?
Yeah.
I drove through
a blizzard to get here.
Oh, okay.
Ian, it's a delight to have you on the show.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do so. I'm going to, you know, kind of bring the vibe right down, actually, I'm afraid, Ian. Sorry, but, I mean, how disappointing has the season been for Huddersfield? Because, I mean, I remember when you got up in the playoffs, actually, and I remember watching the match, and it was wonderful, actually, because, I mean, you know, Huddersfield have got this fantastic history, and to see them come back to the Premier League, and everybody just looked so chuffed, including Patrick Stewart, of course, you know, so... You know, you had all that joy. You managed to hang on last year, but it's not looking like that this year, is it?
No, it's going to be a big ask to stay in the Premier League this year. But no, I mean, as far as disappointment goes, I think the fans will be as disappointed at losing the manager as the prospect of going down. The majority were very unhappy to see David Wagner leave. I think he'd just taken them, or he felt he'd taken them as far as he could. But it's sometimes in football this happens, isn't it? You overachieve, and then when you fail to carry on overachieving, it's seen as a bit of a disaster, and it isn't. Huddersfield have had two fantastic seasons, getting up, staying up, and this year is just a bit of a lull. Hopefully, or my hope is that they've got the right man in charge now. You know, another young German coach who's by all accounts very well qualified. Hopefully, if the worst comes to the worst and Town do go down this season, then next season they rebuild and they come back stronger, hopefully.
Ian, Dean Hoyle, you know, he's a nice guy. I was fortunate to meet him this season and have a quick chat with him. But his loyalty to David Wagner was, I mean, just unquestionable. You know, the fact that he turned around and said that this is the man who brought us up and he'll be the man to take us down. Do you think Wagner jumped
didn't
ship?
He know he resigned, didn't he, though?
Yeah, I was about to say, do you think he jumped ship? Do you think it was a case of it was affecting him sort of mentally? Because he looked absolutely
drained, wasn't he?
Afterwards. Do you think it was the right decision, and do you think it was the right decision for the football club?
I think it was the right decision for David Wagner. He's mature enough, he's clever enough, wise enough to make that decision for himself. And you're right, the club were very loyal to him. But David Wagner was very loyal to the club. This time last year, his name was on, you know, most big clubs' wanted lists as potentially a future manager of them. And he came out and said, no, I'm staying at Huddersfield. I've got a job to do. That has ended now. So he's got a new, you know, he'll have something, no doubt in the next 6 months, he'll have something like, you know, coming along that's going to be as tasty as Huddersfield Town. But no, I think that it all ended quite mutually, which is very rare in football, isn't it, nowadays?
I liked all the banners. All the banners at the last game, I thought, were very rare to see that for a manager, aren't they? We don't normally see that been happening for ex-managers.
That's it. Town fans are realistic as well. You know, there's the element that, you know, and they're the ones that probably made the job tough. There'll be an element who just wanted to see the team being successful at all costs. You get them at every football club,
particularly at Chelsea. Well, tell me, tell you.
That's moving swiftly on.
Ian, what do you think of Jan Sievert then? And I mean, I suppose the corollary of that is, you know, are you resigned to relegation, or is there still hope? And do you think he can do something about it?
I mean, from the outside looking in, I think we're resigned to going down. Yeah. I mean, that's not being defeatist, that's being realist.
Are you preparing for that? Is the team preparing for that at the moment? Are some of the signings revealing that?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, they're signing players that, you know, have played at the level they're possibly going to go down to. And hopefully the players that are there already, if they can keep the nucleus of that squad, it's definitely better than the one that went up. So hopefully you go down and you really be competitive in the Championship. But that isn't, you know, that's a big tall ask as well. Yeah, the Championship is one heck of a level of football.
Has he visibly changed the team in just in the brief time that he's been there? Have you seen, is he doing anything different from Wagner?
I think it's very early days for him. He'll be working hard on the training ground. He'll have a similar ethos to David Wagner. I mean, that's brought up in Germany, I think, especially at Dortmund. He'll have a similar ethos to how they play, how they prepare for matches. He knows he's got a huge job on, but the challenge for him is, you know, hey, yeah, listen, let's aim for a miracle. If we come short, then so be it. We start again next season.
Excellent. Right, turning to Saturday, Ian, is there any way that you can... I mean, Jonathan and I were a bit worried, actually, having seen us get thumped by Bournemouth 4-0. But, I mean, is there any way you can see Huddersfield getting a result? And if so, how?
It's at the Bridge, isn't it? It's brutally honest, no. But Chelsea are having a little bit of a wobble.
Well, they are.
You know, and if there's any time to play them, it's probably now. I know sometimes you can say when you come off the back of a hammering that you bounce back and you beat the next team, but they've had a couple of bad results, Chelsea, and there's something not... Well, from the outside looking in, there's something not quite clicking at Chelsea at the moment for all the quality they've got throughout that squad.
I think, like, the whole system.
All I see of them is, you know, on TV, really, and you look at the players and they've got an amazing squad of players, and yet they still look to be vulnerable against certain teams. And I'm sure that's what Maurizio Sarri's been, you know, recently he's been commenting on. Hey, have these lads maybe had it too easy? Have they had their success come too easy over the last few years? Or I don't know. It's a real...
Well, I think from our point of view, I think he's just trying to play a system that they're not very good at playing. You know,
right,
if you just look at Napoli are when he was their manager, they passed the ball very, very quickly. It was all one and two touch, and the Chelsea players can't appear to do that at the moment. That's the problem, which is
amazing for the quality that Chelsea, you know, the players
indeed
that they've got.
Indeed,
you know,
absolutely.
So I don't think he's trying to teach them something they're not used to, play, you know, being able to do.
You do, absolutely.
How are we expecting Huddersfield to line up and counter sort of, you know, the threat that Chelsea pose potentially going forward?
Well, it's early days. As Jan Sievert's formation, the team he's picked so far, I think he'll be something very similar to last week. He'll go... I mean, Huddersfield, notoriously, over the last couple of years, they try and play out from the back. They try and involve the defenders to sort of like start attacks. I can't see it being much different. He's not going to change that much so soon. But I would imagine he will be trying to shut up shop at the back and hit Chelsea on the break. But against any good team, doing that poses its own risks, so they'll need a slice of good fortune tomorrow, Huddersfield. But you never know. You just never know. From a town perspective, they'll be going down there hoping for a little bit of hoping that Chelsea's wobble continues and hoping they can be tight at the back.
I think if you're one goal up with 20 minutes to go, I think you'll win, because I think Chelsea can't score at the moment, despite having...
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because Huddersfield are struggling to score as well. So we could be in for a 0-0, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Well, that I've seen that during the rounds, actually, funny enough, Ian, that we can't score, you can't score, so it's bound to be a 0-0, so you never know.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be good for you if you could get it.
5-4.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my kind of predictions. I always get it horribly wrong, so there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent stuff.
Are you down visiting as well, Ian? Are you going to be popping down for the game?
Strangely enough, no, but I was in London on Tuesday on business, so I could have maybe extended my stay till tomorrow, but no, I'm not going to be there tomorrow, so I'll be watching the TV tomorrow night and watching the results coming in, and obviously hoping that Town can pull something off, certainly for the fans that do go down, because you'll see tomorrow if you're there, you'll see the Huddersfield fans haven't given up faith, they still follow the team and they make a noise, a good noise.
Yeah, fair play.
So, hopefully you'll get decent atmosphere from them tomorrow.
I'll tell you what, we do actually do a quiz on this show where we ask you know, listeners out there to name us a few players that have played for both Huddersfield and Chelsea. I don't know if you maybe have an answer you'd like to contribute.
I've got one.
Go on.
You want me to name him?
Yeah.
Steve Francis.
Yeah. Spot well on. Done.
There
spot
you
on.
Go.
Goalkeeper extraordinaire, yeah. Great guy.
Great goalkeeper.
Well,
he was a very good keeper. He was a keeper that when the year we went up, he was our number one, and he was much loved by the Huddersfield fans because he was a great guy and B, he was a superb keeper.
Oh, nice to know. Good stuff.
Brilliant stuff. Ian, you've been absolutely
fantastic.
Wonderful.
Thanks, mate.
This evening. Thank you for joining us. And we didn't actually sing your song either. I don't think it's going to get an airing this evening. Ian Dunn, though, joining us there. Former Huddersfield Town striker, giving us the opposition view. France now 13-0 up on Wales in the opening game of the Six Nations.
I didn't want to know. I've recorded it so I could watch it when I got home.
Well, the Six Nations?
Yeah.
Did you actually?
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
I did, seriously. That's what I do. I'm that sad.
With a bowl of pasta?
Yeah. Yeah. Tuna, tonno.
Oh, tuna pasta, lovely.
We've got time to read out a tweet.
No, we're going to go for a break. We're going to go for a short pause. Let's do that.
Your news, your views, your voice. Love Sport Radio, your fan station. Love Sport, 558 AM.
That it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire.
The
answer to your question, I find it rather odd the way he looks when he's singing this.
I don't know what he looks at.
The answer to that question is highly disturbing.
We on?
We're on. Help!
I told you. Do you know what for me it is? It's you correctly said it's an organ. It's this like electronic organ that really freaks me out.
Brilliant. Absolute classic song.
I said we should have had the Jose Feliciano version.
No.
Sacrilegious.
No, the Doors, man. Jonathan was in the Doors.
Was he?
Yeah.
The sliding doors.
Well, I was going to say something else. But
I thought you
said
he worked for a builder's merchant or something like that.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
It's this. Here we go. It's this bit.
Not
jack
Wits.
It up.
This is the bit you don't like.
It just freaks me out. See, people around my age will remember this from Grand Theft Auto.
Anyway, go on.
Anyway.
Well, I was going to say, I've really enjoyed this little thematic thing tonight. You know, Jonathan was on fire earlier on, and we've been riffing with that.
We should do this
because
every time.
Because we get to choose the music, Jonathan.
Yeah, we should. That'd be perfect.
Bit of Arthur
it?
Brown,
yeah,
Crazy
yeah.
World Of.
Yeah,
lovely.
Yeah.
Bit of Doors. Take it right back to the 60s,
how
mate.
How about next week we do Dismal?
Dismal?
Yeah.
That might be challenging. That might be challenging. Where are we at? Are we still doing the show?
No, Shambolic. Just do Shambolic.
Oh, like this show.
No, and like Chelsea at the moment.
I think what we should do is we should do Shah and everything else have a water.
A water. Yeah, very good. Okay, very good.
Okay, like
Shah. Yeah. Water. You know. Yeah. Water Boys. You could have on, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Look what you've done now.
You can have
you've got
Aqualung by Jethro Tull.
Aquamarina.
Yeah. Aquamarina. Aquamarina.
Oh my God. What have you done?
What have you done? The woman like sailing around in like a giant fish tank in like Elstree Studios.
What was that? In Terrorvision, wasn't it? Was it Terrorvision?
Yeah.
Oh,
I never knew what
God.
That meant.
Yeah,
was it just like Japanese version of television? I don't know.
I think that's possibly racist.
Not really.
No.
Not really. It was just alliterative.
Okay. Yeah, it's true.
Anyway. Yeah. Anyway.
What?
There was Super Marionation.
Super Marionation?
Because there were marionettes.
That's right.
Yeah, you see.
Yeah, that told me.
Yeah.
That schooled me, didn't it?
I've got to put my hand up now. Can we, please...
Do the show?
Can we crack on... I mean, what do you make of Ian Dunn? What a nice...
What a lovely
chap.
Bloke.
Oh, lovely. With that lovely ghoul accent.
Ian Dunn.
Lovely ghoul
Ian
accent.
Ian Dunn.
Ian Dunn.
I thought it was like the Raumarellas one.
Oh, I don't know anymore.
Raumarellas.
We should have asked.
Yeah. Did you copy that song off Raul Meireles? No, because he was playing in the 90s, so hard. Should we carry on with the show, Aaron?
Yes, let's.
We haven't got much time left, really.
No,
we?
we've got about 7 or 8
quiz,
minutes.
Quiz.
Do you want to do the quiz?
Do you want to do the quiz first? Yeah?
No, let's talk about...
Well, you can read the answers out, and I can tell you who got them right.
I'll tell you what, can we have a tiny little bed underneath, please, Pads, just to supplement Jonathan's voice? Yeah? Yeah. Oh, yeah, we can have one.
Lovely.
We will have one. It's just being fired up into what was... Oh.
Yeah, baby.
That's very him.
Oh, yeah, baby. Hey, I like that.
That's very him.
Yeah.
I mean, Coach, what are we doing? Is he reading them?
He's going to read the answers, and I'm going to tell you who got it right.
And here are the answers to the quiz competition. Who played for Chelsea and Huddersfield? The answers are... In 13th place, Nick Colgan.
Ooh.
In 12th place, Chris Hutchings,
ooh,
who was also the Wigan assistant manager.
Can I just tell you something? Funny thing about Chris Hutchings, he had a terrible Jerry Curl style like quiff. Do you remember? Like, always very gelled. And it was always one of those ones when Paul Jewell got sacked from a job, Chris Hutchings got the job on a permanent basis.
Right.
Mm. And ended up getting sacked 6 months later himself.
Exactly, yeah, that was kind of regular, yeah.
Bradford,
the same.
Do you remember Bradford?
Yeah.
He's just sort of, I'm going to take this club up, just keep him up in the Premier League. Benito Carboni, et cetera, survived.
When I was Stamford the Lion, he was a supporter of mine.
Was he?
Helped me. Yeah, he was sweet. Yeah.
He let him back in.
Yeah. He helped him back into his costume.
Anyway, where are we now?
Number 11.
This is the one that nobody got.
Jack Cock.
Yeah. Do you know who Jack Cock is?
He was a 1930s player.
He was, but Jack Cock was a very interesting character. He had his own kind of film and stuff and branding. And
didn't he retire in his 20s?
Quite early, but he had this kind of whole media thing going on, didn't he?
I've read about him.
If you don't know who Jack Cock is,
it's really worth looking him up.
Yeah, go and Google it. I remember reading it in one of Rick's books, obviously.
Yeah.
But an absolutely astonishing character. So there we go. But I didn't know he played for Huddersfield.
No,
next.
Frank Sinclair.
Yeah.
Good old Frank. Duncan Shearer. You see, I was right about Shearer.
You were.
Yeah, but you thought I meant the other Shearer.
Scott Shearer.
Yeah. And, of course, good old Ken Moncow, who was a model as well.
You got a Ken Moncow story.
Yeah, I had to chuck in the Ken Moncow story. When I was thinking about it on my way in today, this is my Friday thought. When driving down the M4, who played for Chelsea and X? And I remember two. One of them is going to be coming up, but one of them was Ken Moncow, because I went to school and there was a young lad there and his dad worked in like oil or something like that. And he was originally from Suriname.
Yeah,
like his dad's Surinamese. So like in the playground, you're like, you can keep the bed. You can keep this. Quite cool. Oh, yeah, like a little bit of reboot. In the playground, I was like, Andy Cole, and you were like...
Peter Osgood.
Peter Osgood, and you were...
Ray Wilkins.
This kid was like, I'm Ken Moncow, and everyone's like, So literally, it was like a group of Arsenal, Man United, Chelsea, Liverpool fans, and like a few Chelsea fans like, and it's like, you could have picked any player from Surrey. You could have picked Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, who was tearing up Leeds United. No, you had to pick Ken Moncow.
He was a good player.
One kid, Naeem, his name is.
Oh,
yeah, Naeem, he picked Ken Moncow.
But Naeem from the halfway line?
No, very good though, very good. He's actually from Rickmansworth.
Okay. What's the next, Turk? What's the next?
At number 7.
Okay, thank you.
Leon Knight.
Yep.
Ooh, number 6. That. The great Joey Jones.
Yep, they got that.
Number 5. Steve Francis.
Yep, they got that.
Who Ian mentioned.
Ian got that too, didn't he?
Number 4. The man who looks set to earn 60 million. It would have cost Chelsea 60 million if he doesn't play at all till.
Yeah,
next
this
year.
I didn't know. Nobody got this.
Yeah. Danny Drinkwater.
Yeah.
Number 3. Izzy Brown.
Yeah, people got that.
Number 2. Casey Palmer.
Yeah, people got that.
Number 1, top of the chart, Jermaine Beckford.
Yeah, and nobody got that, and that's a really naughty one because he was a youth player.
Yeah,
but he never played a senior game.
Absolutely.
I've got one that isn't on that list.
Oh yeah. No, who?
And he currently plays for Chelsea / he's registered with Chelsea.
Yeah,
Robert Green.
He played for Huddersfield
last season.
Did he?
He's registered as a player.
Okay, right. Just a quick run
you
through.
Are clever,
Bobby.
Eddie McCready, 1977, got Izzy Brown, Frank Sinclair, Steve Francis, Joe Jones, Chris Hutchings, Ken Moncal, Leon Knight, Duncan Shearer, and Nick Colgan. So he gave us Chris Hutchings and Nick Colgan that I didn't know about.
Great shout.
Martin Wickham got Casey Palmer. Good old Martin. Come on, who else? That seems to be about it. I know somebody got Duncan Shearer. Somebody else got Duncan Shearer. They had a pretty good effort, actually, because I was... Oh, blimey. Oh, I don't believe this. It's only like this actually came in 3 minutes ago, okay? And I've only just seen it now. But Eddie McCready, 1977, says, is it too late to take a punt on Robert Green? Not sure if that counts. How about that?
Hey.
How about that?
Hey.
Cowabunga, dude.
Hey. Yeah, Mark, you're an absolute legend, mate. So there you go. Good effort, people. And they gave us two that I didn't know, and that's exactly what I love. So exactly. There you
that's
go.
What we do it.
I love it.
That's
love
what
it.
We do it.
Yeah.
It's one of my favourite parts of the show.
I
man.
Love it. Yeah, it's brilliant fun.
Along with the new Music Fridays, which I'm really, really
yeah,
sort of warm.
I'm digging
to.
That. I'm digging that a lot, actually. So there you go.
It is good. Chaps, what's going to go down tomorrow at the Bridge? It's a 3 o'clock kick-off for Chelsea and Huddersfield.
I mean, like we were saying earlier, it'll depend on which Chelsea team turn up. I'd be intrigued to know who he's going to pick. I think he'll pick the same side.
He will.
I mean, maybe
Emerson and Alonso.
Emerson for Alonso. Yeah. Maybe Barkley for Kovacic.
No, I don't think so. I think
Loftus-Cheek's now fit though, so that's interesting.
I thought Loftus-Cheek actually played okay when he came on the other day against Bournemouth, despite everybody else not playing well.
Yeah.
Did he come on? Am I getting it right?
He did.
Yeah,
I think he did.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be intriguing to see if Higuain. This is the really annoying thing as well. He's right about what he said about Higuain, is that he hasn't really played for 45 days, so he's not going to be match fit, he's not going to be match sharp, so it's going to take him time to get up to speed. And
time,
what is the one thing
got.
He doesn't have, we need a striker to come in now, start scoring goals.
Yeah,
I mean, it just drives me out the wall, the disconnect between the board, the football, the players, the supporters. It's a shambles, mate. I've said it earlier on. It's a blooming shambles.
One wonders why they haven't got Abraham in now. I mean, I've been saying all along that he's
obviously... Don't tell me he's the second coming, Jonathan.
No, I'm definitely not saying that. I'm just saying... No.
Ooh.
Yeah, don't you get camp with me. No, I'm...
What
I'm,
a face.
No. I'm saying that given the lack of strikers who are working, you'd have thought they might just have a go.
Yeah.
And Batshuayi not, because he's not the sharpest tool in the box, apparently. But
the Batman.
Allegedly.
You can ask us what we think, what the score's going to be.
Let's have a
then.
Couple of paridos. Go on.
After you.
3-0.
I'm going to go 0-0.
I'm going to 3-1.
To Huddersfield?
No. Okay. If it was 3-1 Huddersfield, I would have said 1-3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, of course
he would. It's got officially
gone. Of course he would, Chidge. No.
Oh.
We've had a couple of very interesting gestures from him. We've had ooh and ooh.
0-0. I'm going for 0-0. You're going for 3-0?
3-0.
You're going for 3-1.
3-1. Thank you very much, gents, for joining me. Thanks to Paddy on the buttons as well. It's a Chelsea fan cast on Love Sport Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure.
It has been a pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Sport.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.